Before Graham comes, Isabel's going to come and read from God's word to us. Thanks, Isabel.
So I'm reading from Romans, Paul's writing in Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. Oh, that's good. Make his life easier. What shall we say then? Shall we go on singing?
Not singing.
Sinning, in case you thought I was singing. So that grace may increase. By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be our master, because you are not under law, but under grace.
Thanks, Isabel. Well, we've just had the privilege of baptizing Jenny and Sam and David and James. A great privilege, a great opportunity to allow four people who've wanted to publicly express, to tell everybody that they have decided to follow Jesus. It's an amazing moment. It's a real privilege. It's great to be part of, to celebrate in. But I just wanted to spend a few moments to think about, well, what does this actually mean? Why is it important? Why do we ask people to come to a place like this in the middle of a Sunday morning service and go down into a pool of water, go under the water and be baptized? What does it mean? I'm aware that there are some people here this morning for whom this might be the first time you've seen this. And you might have lots of questions. Why do they do this? What is it about? For other people, it might have been something that you've been thinking about for some time. And you've made that decision to follow Jesus, but you've not taken that step of being baptized. And what's happened this morning might have encouraged you to think about it and say, and actually, this is something that I want to do as well. For others, you can look back on your own baptism, maybe many years ago, and be reminded of that time when we made our own public statements about wanting to follow Jesus. And it's an opportunity to look back and think, well, what have those years been like? Have we lived up to those promises that we've made? Are we still as close to Jesus? Are we closer to Jesus than we were then? Lots of questions, lots of memories, lots of things to think about. And to help us to explore that, we're going to look briefly at this passage from Romans that Isabel just read. Romans was a letter written to the early church by the Apostle Paul, one of the early leaders in the church, somebody who did amazing things for God. And we're going to see that that passage says something important about baptism and about many, many other things. And in that passage, Paul is speaking about something that happened in the past. He's speaking about something that was happening at that time, nearly 2,000 years ago, but for Paul it was at that time. And he was talking about something that was going to happen in the future. And they each speak to us powerfully about God, about Jesus, and about how we choose to live our lives. So, things in the past. Paul looks back and speaks about the death of Jesus. But he also speaks about his resurrection, that he didn't stay dead, that he came back to life. Paul is totally clear that Jesus was a real person who lived and walked and taught around Israel. And he did amazing things. Paul knows that. He also knows that Paul was taken, he was tried, he was condemned to death, and he was crucified on a cross by the Roman authorities. Many people were killed in that way. But the death of Jesus on the cross was unique. It was a death that was dealing with the problem of sin. And Isabel read those words a few times in this passage. Sin, according to the Bible, is the wrong things we do, the wrong desires we have, the thoughts we have that we know are wrong, the actions that hurt ourselves and that hurt others. And this sin, as well as causing so many problems in human relationships, it breaks down the relationship between God and humanity. And what Paul is saying is that when Jesus died on that cross, he died to deal with that problem, to deal with sin itself, to defeat it and make it possible for the sin that separates us from God to be swept away. That's what Paul is talking about, that took place in the death of Jesus. Paul goes on to say that because of Jesus, we can die to sin. We can experience a life where sin has no power or control over us. He speaks about us dying with Christ, as though we are identifying ourselves with his death and allowing what Jesus achieved on the cross to change us and to free us from sin. This is where baptism comes in. As Paul speaks about those who are baptized into Christ Jesus, as those who have been baptized into his death. And this is where the symbolism of baptism really comes in, because one of the powerful symbols is that as we go down into the water, as we're totally immersed under the water, it's as though we're being lowered into a grave and signifying that we are leaving our old lives there, just as Jesus died and was buried in a grave. But just as we didn't leave people under the water, Paul also makes it clear that, as I said, Jesus did not stay dead, but he came back to life. And Paul was well aware that that was a shocking and amazing statement to make. But it was a reality for Paul that had totally transformed his life. And a reality that has totally transformed the lives of billions of people ever since, and still does today. Because it's not just that Paul knew as a fact of history that Jesus had been restored to life, but that this affected everything else. In verse 4, he says this: "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." See what Paul is saying here? Because Jesus was restored to life, we can live a new life as well. Some of us have so many difficulties and problems in our lives, and that idea of a new start can often seem so attractive. And what Paul is saying, that in Jesus, we can experience that. That we take on a new reality. Elsewhere, Paul talks about us being a new creation as we experience this life that is possible because Jesus died and rose again. And as we bring people back up out of the water, we rejoice with them in the new life that they are living, made possible by Jesus. So, Paul is encouraging people to look back on the time they were baptized and to recognize that that was a key moment, a positive, a powerful sign of the new life they had received in Jesus. So one of the things that Jenny and Sam and Dave and James are saying today is that they, along with Paul, along with billions of others, along with many people here, have experienced this new life in Jesus. As they have accepted that he died for them to deal with the problem of their sin, to make it possible for their sins to be forgiven and for their relationship with God to be restored. So Paul looked back on the past, but he also looked forward to the future that is possible, the future that is there for those of us who believe in Jesus. And again, it's rooted in the death and resurrection of Jesus. All of this is possible because of what Jesus accomplished. In verse 5, he says, "If we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." If we associate ourselves with his death, we will share in a resurrection similar to the one he experienced. And this tells us something about our future. That even death itself, which we know sadly comes to all of us, will not separate us from the love of God, will not destroy the relationship that we have with him. Its power has been defeated by what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead and now lives in the power of a life that will continue for all eternity, so those of us who believe in Jesus can look forward to that as well. And that provides amazing confidence and hope as we look to the future. So Paul was interested in what had happened in the past. He was interested in what was happening in the future. But he was very interested too in what was happening in the present. Because while that is a wonderful hope for the future, and it is, and it's something to get excited about, it is more than that. It is about the lives that we live today and tomorrow. It's about the choices we make and why we make them. It's about the quality and experience of life that we can enjoy today. And Paul presents this as a choice, whether to continue sinning in our lives or to seek to live for God. And this is only a choice for those who've made a decision to follow Jesus. We can't deal with our sin on our own. We can't decide we're not going to have anything to do with it because it keeps on creeping back. It's only because we believe in Jesus that sin can be dealt with. But once we've made that decision to follow Jesus, we have that potential of living and enjoying life as God meant it to be lived. A life lived in relationship with him. in verse 8, Paul says, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Paul is looking forward to that future resurrection after death, but he's also talking about the privilege of living with Jesus Christ today. Death and sin no longer need have any authority, and we can choose to live our lives in the wonderful reality of that. Just as Jesus lived to do the things that his Father wanted him to do, so we can choose each day to live our lives in the strength and the power that Jesus, through his Spirit, can provide. And so Paul challenges, he encourages us to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the choice that Paul is giving, saying, live your life as though sin has no part of it, but that you are fully alive in Jesus. Friends, if we've come into that relationship with Jesus, we are new, different people. Our old lives, under the control and power of sin, are gone, and we are living in the new life that only Jesus can provide. Paul is telling us that this is the reality. But he's also encouraging us and challenging us to live in that reality, to recognize that that is who we are and to live that way. To recognize, to rejoice in the life that Jesus has made possible, to leave behind the things that would hold us back, the things that would keep us rooted in our old lives. And those of us, those who were baptized this morning, were saying that this is what they want for their lives. And let's pray that God will continue to encourage them and bless them and lead them into deeper relationship with him. But let's also think about what it means for each one of us here, either in the building or online this morning. Maybe you haven't taken that step yet of finding, of experiencing, of accepting new life in Jesus, and are thinking about what that might mean. What Paul is claiming here, and what many of us have found to be true, is that it means a life of purpose, a life lived in relationship with God, a life that, while there are still issues and challenges along the way, Heather shared some of those that people are experiencing this morning. It is a life of meaning, a life of hope, a life of deep joy. So how do we take that step? We recognize that when Jesus died, it was for us. We ask him to forgive us for all the wrong things that we have done and to receive us into his family. We receive his gift of new life. We commit ourselves to him. If that's where you're at this morning, please speak with somebody here, maybe a friend who invited you, somebody you know, somebody who's been leading part of the service this morning, to find out more about the life that Jesus died to make possible. And for those of us who have made that commitment, whether recently or a long time ago, Paul speaks about a choice. A choice as to whether we are going to live the life that we've been given, or to go back to the things that we should have left behind. If somebody breaks an arm, they often, I think this still happens today, they get fitted with a plaster cast. And it can provide safety and security when we're recovering from a broken bone. But once the bone is healed, the cast just gets in the way. My five, nearly six-year-old granddaughter used to have stabilizers on her bike, but she's found now that she can go a lot faster and a lot better without them. When I first started doing lateral flow tests, I read all the instructions to make sure I was doing it right. You've been there? Now I've done so many of them, I just do it. Those instructions are no longer needed. All of these things, plaster casts, stabilizers, instructions, are useful and helpful for a time, but we get to a point where we can go on and do better without them. But sin and those things that characterize a life lived without Jesus has never been helpful, has never been good, and we can always do better without it. But we can sometimes allow ourselves to fall back into those unhelpful, those wrong practices, even though we know they're not good for us, even though we know that they displease God and that they damage our relationship with him. So as we've rejoiced in these people being baptized this morning, let's be prepared to recommit ourselves to God and live the life that Jesus makes possible. Paul presents this as a choice. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. God has brought us from death into a wonderful life. And the response that he's looking for is that we offer every part of our lives back to him. And as we do so, we'll find out that this is what we were designed for. This is how we were meant to live. And it's in this that we experience the deepest possible fulfillment and peace and joy. Let's continue to pray for Jenny and for Sam and for David and for James, that this will be their experience. And let's continue to seek this for ourselves and to pray and support each other as we seek out that life or as we live that life that we have been given. May God bless us as we work out what it means to accept him and live in that way.